A little unscheduled earlier video to celebrate Crab Rave. Well, my editors aren't up yet, but the end of woke media has begun. I mean, what a glorious day. We had all of the late night shows last night are now on hiatus. I think that's a net positive for humanity. We had just a few weeks ago, BuzzFeed News completely shutting down, another leftist propaganda outlet that simply just called itself news, but it was never actually news. And then the coup de grace last night, the coup de grace last night, when finally Vice Media, a company that actually used to be good, that actually used to do interesting documentaries, that actually used to hit hard-hitting reporting, is closing down or filing for bankruptcy. A company that was worth nearly $6 billion. $6 billion is now bankrupt. I'm going to give you a second to leave a like on the video. And by the way, if you haven't yet, please do subscribe down below. Once valued at $5.7 billion, Vice may now be headed for bankruptcy. The company has laid off staff and closed its global news operation as it struggles to find a buyer. Vice doesn't do anything good. By the way, I want to point out why I'm so happy about this. This is a new propaganda outlet. This is an outlet that has personally tried to damage my friends and colleagues, both Sargon of Akkad, Count Dankula, and many more. Written hit pieces to get people demonetized, get them banned from YouTube. You know why these woke media outlets like BuzzFeed News and Vice wrote these type of pieces? It's because they actually did see the writing on the wall. They knew that they were being replaced by more authentic people online. People that would give their news away for free in exchange for maybe selling some coffee or, you know, hearing a few sponsor reads. But they were authentic. Vice was maybe at one point was authentic, but those days are long gone. Vice, which was valued at $5.7 billion just 6 years ago, is now preparing to file for bankruptcy, according to New York Times report, citing two people's knowledge of operations. It's a stunning development, coming on the heels of a series of layoffs in digital media, including Vice. Last week, the American-Canadian company announced that it was closing Vice News Tonight, its TV news program, and Vice World News, its global operation, laying off more than 100 employees. Vice has been searching for a buyer for months, according to the New York Times report, and at least five companies are interested in acquiring the brand. A successful sale could fend off bankruptcy filing, though the chances of the deal going through as described are increasingly slim. Vice's $5.7 billion valuation in 2017 by a private equity firm represented a high watermark, but the media company is now likely worth a small fraction of that. In February, Vice secured $30 million in debt financing from Fortress Investment Group to help pay off millions of dollars in mounting unpaid bills. If the bankruptcy goes through, Fortress would likely gain control of Vice, according to the New York Times. The company would continue normal operations during a 45-day auction period with Fortress in the front position to acquire. Essentially, Fortress has the right of first refusal to own it because it lent that $30 million, if I'm understanding this correctly, or they have the option to sell it off and hope to recover some portion of that $30 million. But again, we're talking $30 million from a $5.7 billion company. Vice started as a punk zine in Montreal in the 1990s, expanded into a global media brand that included a print magazine, vast digital content operation, a TV film production studio, and its own TV network. It racked up prestigious journalism awards with its flagship program, Vice News Tonight. Vice's brash reporting style helped define a new era of news. Disagree. Starting in the mid-2000s, that accorded a younger audience, while drawing hundreds of millions of dollars in investments from establishment media and companies, including Disney and Fox. All this money in, right? This is what's so wild to me. The company, however, has failed to turn a profit for years, losing money and resorting to successive rounds of staff layoffs. It has been a tough few months for media. Last month, BuzzFeed laid off staff, closed its news operations. Vox, Gannett, NPR, 538, National Geographic, and The Washington Post have all announced layoffs amid a downturn in advertising. Look, there is a downturn in advertising. I can tell you unequivocally there is. I would say, you know, month over month, my earnings are down, 30%. It's not insignificant. And, you know, that's why I've had to push Coffee Brand Coffee so much more. Maybe I'm doing the Raid Shadow Legends streams or whatever. You diversify. You have to do it to stay afloat. You have to do it because you've got employees that need you to pay their salaries so they can support their families. You need to find different ways to grow. But like BuzzFeed, Vice, all these woke media companies that were simply propped up by huge leftist investment dollars, apparently, never really did that. And they never really adapted to the new style of news, which is essentially back to its roots, 100% funded by, you know, the consumers of that news. If you look at Daily Wire, you look at Timcast, you look at The Publica, which is my news company, we're never going to be able to survive on ads. We have to survive on providing people with content that they're willing to join as a member and support with their dollars. That's the new media. By the way, we're at 17.08% of our 2023 member goal, and I just filmed my first episode of Dictated But Not Read, which will appear probably next week on The Publica. But this is the new model. You can't exist on advertising anymore. For example, you know, my YouTube channel really can't exist on just AdWords alone. That's why, you know, I have memberships, or I have coffee, or I have ad reads. You still have to continue to diversify. Like, I've still got two other companies that I'm trying to spin up this year to continue to diversify, because I will probably never earn as much money as I did in 2022 ever again from YouTube ads. And now it becomes a game about, okay, well, how much coffee, tea, and cocoa can I sell to offset? Can I release my own VPN? Can I launch this service, that service? Can I get backers on The Publica, which is my long-term play? These are all things that I really should have started 3 years ago. But the writing's on the wall, and, you know, it's better late than never, I would suppose. You know, there are plenty of people that are celebrating. You see Elon Musk says, go woke, go dot, dot, dot. It's been a while since they made quality content. And then he links to, Vice reporting on donkey shows. Just to give you a little sample of some of their reporting that they've done on my friends. Here's a hit piece on Count Dankula. Here's another hit piece on Count Dankula. Here's a hit piece on Sargon of Akkad, celebrating that somebody attacked him. Here's another video celebrating that Sargon of Akkad got demonetized and could no longer support his family. They took joy in doing this. They took joy in doing this. And now I take joy, and I hope you've left a like on the video, and I hope you're taking joy in the collapse of woke media. You see, BuzzFeed News, this was only a few weeks ago. BuzzFeed News, which dragged media into the digital age, shuts down. BuzzFeed News is another perfect example. If you don't earn, so they lived and they got fat off people who would just consume anything. I mean, I think it was BuzzFeed that was like, had their own pots and pans that they used to sell. They had a lot of different ways that they were making money through ads on their websites. But ultimately, in 2022, it began the shift where you couldn't exist as a news agency or even as a media personality without direct financial support from your viewers. These businesses never pivoted. By the time they had pivoted, no one actually valued them enough to open their wallets and support them. Now, look around. I mean, I'm just being honest here. It's like, you know, for example, we're trying to fund The Publica, right? It's going to be extremely hard because people are already paying Tim. People are already paying Daily Wire. People are already paying Crowder. Maybe less now, but they are. People are already paying the uncensored TV. They're paying this. It's like the streaming wars, but with content creators on YouTube. And it's going to be harder and harder and harder and harder and harder to get people to support because people don't have infinite money. They have to make choices. But this is the new age in media, the new age in creating content. You have to provide the content that people find so valuable that they will pay you money. And that's just something that Vice never did and BuzzFeed never did. And I couldn't be happier that both of them are gone. I hope Vice's website, and you know what? Here's to Kotaku being next, the Mary Sue, all these other websites. See what I mean? Like Vice is now like, oh, sign me up to my mail list so I can market to you. No, I don't value Vice. You cannot have my information to sell. And a lot of people must have agreed with me. Well, you all did it. Sheer brutality. Consumers, the anti-woke consumers, are in fact having a major impact. According to a new report, Bud Light sales in like grocery stores and things like this have plummeted 26%. And finally, the stock market is taking notice and the Bud Light stock has basically been sinking over the past 5 days straight in comparison to the competitors. So a lot of people say, oh, it's the market in general terms. Wrong. Coors Light, Miller Light have been skyrocketing, almost a pure mirror inflection of what's happening for Bud Light. And this is because of you. This is because of all the hard work that you're doing out there, and we're not done yet. They have to apologize. They have to come out and acknowledge exactly what they did was wrong, why it was wrong. We already kind of see what they're doing to try and correct it. We saw they fired the woman who did that interview and called their customers fratty and out of touch. We saw her boss get fired. We've seen they tried to do this weird new desperation appeal country music ad that fell flat because they have not acknowledged it. The problem is they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. If they acknowledge it, then the LGBTQ community is going to come after them for not supporting trans people. If they don't acknowledge it, they're going to continue to suffer the consequences of their actions. And I couldn't be happier about it. This is one of the few times it's actually worked. The regular-minded people have actually pulled it off. I hope you're, by the way, having a good day out there. I know I am. Make sure you're leaving a like in on this video. And if you haven't yet, please do subscribe down below. No coffee shill in this video. You already know about the gift boxes. Today will probably be the last day over at Coffee Brand Coffee to get them. To be safe, I would do the custom build, but you know, they're running low. Here's sort of a sheer brutality. Conservatives finally pull off a massively successful boycott. I've never seen it happen and didn't think it would work. Shout out to Matt Walsh and others who made it happen. I would say I am included in that, and all my viewers are included in that. So shout out to you. Sales of Bud Light have been plunging since the company enlisted the help of Dylan Mulvaney in a marketing campaign a month ago. In the week that ended April 22nd, the brand's in-store sales plummeted more than 26%, according to figures reported by Bump Williams Consulting. And the decline is only accelerating. The week before, the sales dropped by 21%. The week before that, it was at 11%. That means everyone's sharing these videos, liking these videos, interacting in the comments, telling their friends, roasting their friends who are enjoying a Bud Light. It's working. Now, Bud Light is still the best-selling beer in America by far, said Bump Williams, the founder and CEO of the agency that bears his name. In 2022, Anheuser-Busch InBev sold more than $4.8 billion worth of it in stores, he said, far outpacing Modelo Especial at 3.75 and Michelob Ultra at 3.3. But if the company can't stop the decline in sales, especially as the peak beer drinking summer season approaches, then Bud Light is in serious trouble this year. And that's a quote. And I think it runs the risk of losing its number one position by the end of the calendar year 2023 to Modelo Especial. already sales are off 8% for the year in early April. Anheuser-Busch sent a can to Dylan Mulvaney. Of course, the influencer posted a brief video on TikTok. You know, the Anheuser-Busch spokesperson said they tried to cover it up, and I'm not going to rehash everything you already know. The thing is, Williams said when the Bud Light brand manager, Alyssa Gordon Heinerschneid, took over marketing for the brand last year, sales of Bud Light were already slumping. She tried to increase sales by with this campaign, trying to appeal to a younger, politically progressive market. Quote, her big miss was I don't think she understood who the core Bud Light shopper was. Well, yeah, this is a woman that was born rich, went to expensive private colleges, expensive private finishing schools, and never probably shook a hand of a man or a woman that had calluses on it in her entire life. When she came out with her comments, they were deemed to be derogatory, insulting, and juvenile, and the Bud Light drinkers said, enough of that, Williams said. Heinerschneid explained the shift in marketing strategy by saying Bud Light previously was a brand of fratty, out-of-touch humor. She is now on leave of absence, along with Daniel Blake, vice president of Anheuser-Busch's mainstream brands. During the controversy, sales had increased for Bud Light's biggest competitors, Miller Lite and Coors Light, Williams said. What is more is he's beginning to see what is known as a negative halo effect, and other Anheuser-Busch brands are suffering because of the dispute. Quote, I also think what's happening now is anyone that is a Bud Light drinker switches to Michelob Ultra because they don't want to be seen holding a Bud Light. Someone down the bar is going to say, hey, buddy, that's Anheuser-Busch product you're holding, Williams said. The slowdown in sales of Michelob Ultra is a particular concern for Anheuser-Busch because it has been one of the fastest growing brands on the market, said David Steinman, vice president and executive editor of Beer Marketers Insights. So now, and this is only going to continue, right? You have to keep the everyone has to keep the pressure on, keep pushing, keep reminding people what's an Anheuser-Busch product until such a point in which they issue a sufficient apology. An apology isn't running out a huge new ad campaign. It's saying, hey, we screwed up. Here are the things that we did, we're doing, and will do to fix this. Yes, we fired these people. Yes. We aren't going to be, you know, we've implemented these new marketing policies. These are things that they've come out and already said. But then on top of that, they need to come out and say, hey, actually, we also are going to, you know, acknowledge specifically the language of Heinerschneid that was derogatory about our customers. Specifically, we understand that in our greed and fervor or grasp for cash, we insulted our customers. We insulted women. We're sorry. Here's a 50% off coupon to come back. And then a promise to not go down that road in the future. Meanwhile, the company is taking heat from all sides, Simon said. The anti-trans contingent is upset because of the association with Mulvaney, while the progressive contingent is upset by what it seems to be backing down from the pro-trans statement made by sending her the beer. According to Williams, the plunge in sales is hitting beer distributors especially hard, costing them millions of dollars a day. To stop the slide, Anheuser-Busch needs to cooperate with them and come up with a way to entice their former customers back into the fold. Well, I'm telling you, everyone's telling you exactly what it would take, right? They continue, in addition, the corporation should remember who its customers are and apologize to them for abandoning them in support of Dylan, he said. Right now, their compass is completely broken. There is no game plan. I mean, that's absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. You see, a staggering sales hit for Bud Light is worsening with each passing week following the ill-fated marketing tie-up. Remember when they said, oh, well, you know, nobody's going to stick to it, blah, 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 blah. Look what's happening to the InBev stock. Down nearly 5%. Now, a lot of people say, oh, look at the month. Okay, well, it's down 4.3% for the month. And a lot of people are saying, eh, look at 6 months. It's up. Yes, it is. But it's giving back all of that. And by the way, none of this controversy even started until April. So all of the stuff that happened in February into April is irrelevant. And if you look at, like I said, Coors, for example, Look at that. Up 8% today. Look what Coors is up. Look at Coors in the last, I don't know, week. If you had invested in Coors, you'd have made a bundle. I'm not a stock person. This is not stock advice. But if you look at Anheuser-Busch today, it's just plummeting. And it's not coming back. Usually it comes back, but this is the, you know, the halo effect that other other brands they sell are plummeting. And you're getting headlines across because this is showing us consumers that we really do have the power. We have the power to push back against this woke nonsense. We have the power to have an effect on the market. We have the power to really boycott something. This scares the left so much. This absolutely has them terrified because they don't want us to know that we can push back against this woke crap. Sure, it didn't work against Nike. Nike's gigantic and they're extraordinarily woke. Their entire business is woke. They have a lot of customers that are woke. Sure, you lose that battle, but you win some, you lose some. Clearly, if we keep the pressure on Bud Light, this is going to be a W. Larger packs of Bud Light are not even being purchased. The 30-pack suitcases, the 20-packs, the 18-packs, the 12-packs are all being impacted, Williams told the Post. It's going to be very, very hard to reverse the decline. Bud Light remains the best-selling, but that's not going to last. The precipitous sale drops in the last few weeks have left its sales down year-to-date a painful 8%, threatening Bud Light's leading position. The sales data shows unless parent Anheuser-Busch turns things around, then Bud Light is in serious trouble this year. I mean, this is it's working. Sure, Maybelline, makeup companies, Kate Spade, you know, these designer brands. Sure, okay, fine, that doesn't work. You know, but now you have Barron's typing. Now the stock market's getting there. Bud Light off-premises sale fell 26%, absolutely cratering. Fox News, Bud Light in serious trouble of losing status as top-selling beer in the United States. This is good. This is great. Leave a like on this video. Subscribe. Turn notifications on. Share this video. Keep the pressure on. They're on the ropes. We need to push that probably to 30-35%. We need to recruit more people. You see someone drinking a Bud Light, you ask them politely if they know what's going on with Bud Light. You see someone drinking Anheuser-Busch product, you ask them politely if they know what's going on. And together we can redouble our efforts and really put the screws to Bud Light and put the screws to Anheuser-Busch. And look, if they want to go down with this ship, that's on them. But as long as we stay strong, we can really make a change. This is an extremely interesting story. So a woke dating app that was exclusively, I guess, for women seeking women has been infiltrated and destroyed by biological men. And the hilarity of it all is that the app itself is banning women who wish to date women if they have any problem whatsoever with biological men being treated exactly the same on the website. And if they even dare to say, well, I'm a woman, I prefer to date women, they will get banned. The woke nonsense is they're eating themselves. And this is just one of my favorite stories of the day. From her to him, the downfall of the LGBTQ, well, really lesbian dating app. Boasting 1.5 million users in 55 countries, Her is undeniably the largest and most recognizable dating app for women. While debatable now, it appears to have been created with the best intentions. The app's founder, Robin Exton, said that she first set out to design an app that wasn't just a female version of Grindr. Now, this is via Redux.info. However, over the last few years, Her has become less of a platform for lesbians to mingle and more of a case study in the contagion of gender identity ideology and how it uniquely harms the lesbian community. Now, I suppose all these women will be called TERFs. Launched in 2015 under the premise of being female-run lesbian space, Her went through a subtle rebrand in 2018 in an effort to profit from the burgeoning trends of, quote, queerness and inclusivity, terms which had gained popularity from social justice bloggers of Tumblr and into mainstream discourse. Her, which had ostensibly been designed exclusively for female users, began to add more categories and identities so it could attract a base that included trans-identified individuals, particularly men. In their promotional materials, Her even began using the term waxman to be more inclusive of those who felt woman was an offensive term. Exton gave an interview at the time calling the queer community amazing and celebrating the fact that queerness was causing people to question, challenge, and think about their identity. But what started with a spark of inclusion turned into a wildfire compulsion. On Exton's app, there was a flood of men, biological men, who identified as lesbians who felt welcome to use Her as their mating grounds, all while lesbians and bi women who were only interested in dating females were not provided any option to filter out these men from their searches. It gets more hilarious. Over the short years following, Her began mutating into an entity that was openly hostile to lesbian users in an effort to signal its dedication to inclusivity. Without the ability to filter out men, who could pick any identity they liked on the app, some female users took it upon themselves to signify that they were only interested in other women by adding it to their bio or including a photo with logos that signified, you know, woman interested only in women. These women found themselves quite literally forced off the app. Jen, a lesbian user on Twitter, told Redux was suspended for adding no trans women to her bio on Her because she was exclusively attracted to women. Jen joined Her in late 2021, looking for a female partner and assuming a lesbian dating app would be the place to go for such an endeavor. Finding a veritable smorgasbord of 5 o'clock shadows and head tilts, Jen attempted to ensure that she was only be contacted by other females. Quote, I wrote in my bio that I would not consider a biological man as a partner, nor a woman who was not a proud woman, as we would not be compatible. Shortly after, Jen was suspended. She wrote Her's customer service and asked why, and received a snarky response from an agent named Devin, berating her for using, quote, hateful language in her bio and asserting trans women are in fact women. Thanks for reaching out. Your account is suspended for phobic or disrespectful speech in the bio. Specifically, please only contact if you're born female and proud to be a woman. Absolutely no trans women or non-binary, please. Her is a welcoming place for queer people, including non-binary and trans folks. Trans women are women. Well, they quite biologically, they are not, right? Jen was incredulous. Her banned me, a lesbian, for being a lesbian and not wanting to hook up with biological men. But Jen's experience is far from isolated. Another woman, a vocal women's rights advocate known by her moniker DJ Lippy, told Redux that she had been suspended from using Her after she uploaded a photograph to her profile featuring a sign that displayed the dictionary definition of a woman as adult human female. Many trans-identified males reject this definition of woman as it excludes them because they are not female. Quote, you can pick any gender identity you wish and exclude anyone you choose just as long as it isn't male, DJ Lippy remarked to Redux. It's like opening an all-you-can-eat vegan buffet but sneaking salami into all the dishes. When you complain, they kick you out and call you pork exclusionary radical vegan. Another lesbian women's rights campaigner, Aja, told Redux that she was suspended after adding that she was only interested in biological women to her profile, and she says she has been receiving regular messages from male users who identify as lesbians. I was messaged by lots of blokes who I ignored, so I added I'm only interested in biological women in my profile, added a picture that I was wearing an adult human female t-shirt. Not sure how long it took them to ban me, but they did. Academic and feminist author Holly Lawford Smith also had a similar experience using the app. In her bio, she wrote that she was only interested in matching with other women and was suspended as a result. When she reached out to customer service, they advised her that she had been reported for phobic behavior. I mean, is there any more misogynistic act? Like, biological men are flooding into this app, forcing themselves on women that are not interested in them. And when they don't date them, they get them banned. It's almost like they hate women. I mean, I don't know. I couldn't possibly know that. But it sure seems like it. It sure seems like there's something, some reason why this keeps happening. The customer service representative, Samantha, went on to inform Holly that it is against our community guidelines to list what you are not interested in matching with, and also compared a lesbian not wanting to mingle with men to a lesbian excluding masculine women. That's not the same thing. Speaking to Redux, Holly said, everything about the app is designed to force gender identity ideology onto people using it. You can't choose a gender, or you can't choose a biological, you know, gender, only gender identity. You're pushed towards entering pronouns. You can't filter out males. You're constantly having to swipe past men. She added, it's incredibly sad that an app designed to bring women who are into women have now been completely infiltrated by and completely sold out to men. Others have shared on social media similar experience about being banned from the app, stating, here's Megan. I got suspended for, quote, suspicious activity. When I emailed support, they claimed it was for transphobia. I had no males in my bio, so they're telling on themselves. Regardless, her has a problem with normal men as well as trans identifying males on the app. We should be allowed to say no. Even as lesbian users continue to express their disappointment in the fact that the dating app appears to be forcing female users to match with males, her has continuously doubled down. Last year, the app announced that it was taking a hard-line stance on so-called TERFs, which made it easier for male users to report female users for rejecting them, essentially. The Her saga reached a fever pitch, however, over the past few days as it decided to celebrate Lesbian Visibility Week by explicitly going after and cyberbullying lesbian women who refuse to date trans-identified males on their official Twitter. In what can only be described as an unhinged tirade, Her social media manager used the company's Twitter to engage in targeted harassment against women. During their episode, they defended someone who hung around the playgrounds, we'll say, went after women, encouraged doxing, and made a strange comment about feeding gender-critical crabs to identified males. What? The social media rampage resulted in the company being temporarily suspended from Twitter. The incident began when Her quote-tweeted DJ Lippy, a user who had previously been banned from their app, who had been remarking on, a trans-identified convicted creep who had taken the name of a feminist activist after he transitioned, despite the fact Her had not been mentioned in the original comment by DJ Lippy. The app's official social media page appeared to have sought out her remarks about the individual and responded with an incoherent rant. What? This is so wild. So then after being suspended from Twitter for repeated instances of harassment, Her took to TikTok to inform people that they didn't care about the suspension and that there was and no one was going to be disciplined for abusive tweets. Their account has since been reinstated on Twitter. I mean, this is so wild. And you should, read the rest of the article, of course, on Redux. But this is like the rebranding of the app. It's just like biological men are just forcing themselves on these women. And if they don't date them, they get them banned. This is a clown world. Maybe I should be developing an app exclusively. I had exclusively games. That didn't work. But what about exclusively dames? Maybe that could work. Maybe a little rework there. Well, can't say I'm not surprised by all this. If you like to consume cringe, TikTok is a great place to get it on discount. It's like the Costco of cringe, the Sam's Club of cringe. I don't know. I don't know what other you know, not in America, bulk buy stores, but it's your bulk buy discount store of cringe. And what is certainly growing in there, it was a thing certainly in 2020 and maybe even in 2016, but politicians are going out and hiring kids, throwing some money in their face, sending them on fancy trips around the world, paying for their expenses, and having them shill for Joe Biden. Do these people exist for Donald Trump or for Ron DeSantis? I don't know. Certainly, you know, that would be interesting too. But for what it's worth, it's pretty clearly a Democrat strategy. And I do want to say this before we dive in on the cringe. This is absolutely something the Republicans should be doing. Republicans cannot control how many people are using TikTok. This is the mail-in balloting all over again. You know, let's make fun of these kids and point out that they're likely paid shills, but also let's understand that this strategy works and that Republicans must embrace technology rather than continue to have out-of-take boomer takes about video games and anime. And yes, TikTok is bad, and I wish it would be banned, but for now, it is not. Yes, mailing in your stuff felt unsafe, and a lot of people didn't want to do it, but the Democrats did it, and that's what swung the election. So it's like, I felt like, and I still say, I've said it before, and I'll say it again, that you know, Trump telling people not to do mail-in balloting was a huge mistake. If the Democrats are going to do it, we've got to get down in the mud with them and, you know, tell everyone, hey, go do your mail-in ballot. Go to your parents' house, help them fill theirs out. Go to your brother's house, help them fill that out. They should have been doubling down instead of saying, well, don't do that. And that's exactly what's happening with TikTok. Now, there was kind of this viral TikTok video that's got 2 million views where he puts us mega trolls have claimed that I'm paid by the DNC and the White House, but that's simply not true. Except he got ruthlessly community noted. I also think it's funny how they limit replies because what I think their agency understands, by the way, we're going to talk about their agency, which is accepting hundreds of thousands of dollars from the Democratic National Committee. What they understand is, these kids don't have to fight with conservatives on Twitter. They just have to get popular. That's it. The things that this kid says is cringe and emotional, but he's a kid, right? He's 18 years old. I was an idiot when I was 18 too. So I think that what the right is mischaracterizing here is looking at, you know, they're like, okay, well, this guy's a paid shill, and then we'll move on, which we're going to talk about. But this video also got 1.8 million views.
So some MAGA trolls have been claiming that I'm a shill paid for by the DNC, and I don't actually believe what I say. If I've learned anything in my time making content on the internet, it's always a losing battle to feed the trolls, so I'm only going to address this once. I have never been paid by the DNC, ever. In fact, any content I've ever been sponsored to post has been labeled as such, as required by law.
Well, we're going to get into that in a second here. First of all, look, this kid openly admits last night on Tim Dillon that he caters his opinions to what gets him the most followers in terms of the Democrat movement in this short clip.
And I'm passionate about this, but like, yeah, maybe our side isn't perfect in this way and that way.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, like, it's...
He's talking to these kids about how come you never criticize your own? You only seem to be... I mean, it's weird for 18-year-olds to be, you know, literally loving Joe Biden, but... Listen to what he says to him saying, hey, why don't you ever criticize, if you're not a shill, why don't you criticize the Democrats?
It's actually really hard in this space, right? Like, we have like 45 seconds to record a video, keep right. people's attention. And a lot of the people on our side, like, if they start hearing, like, I've actually done it before. I've criticized, like, a Democrats, like, specifically Hakeem Jeffries, and it all just went south. Like, I started losing followers. Like, it's bad, right? And I really...
There you go. That's the quote, right? I'm not going to play it again. You should listen to Tim's entire interview because it's very good. But he says, oh, well, I tried to criticize, but I lost followers. Okay, so you do cater your opinion to what gets you the more followers. You are inauthentic.
I really want to be that person that like reaches the other side because Democrats, I mean, they're horrible at their jobs, right? They do a lot of shitty things, although I'll vote for them all the time. But it's also hard.
What a weird thing to say. And you see, interestingly enough, this had been community noted, right? In late 2022, Biden campaign team connected with young social media influencers, including Harry Sisson, to draw in ages 18 to 29. And when we look at this article, they're right here put on. They've been propped up literally by the White House, literally by their agency, which had received huge money from the DNC. Again, I think Republicans should be doing this. Republicans should be spending their money instead of running ads after diabetes and catheter commercials, should be running ads and hiring influencers on TikTok and other social media. They have to. I mean, these are people. He's literally pictured right here in an article from early 2023. Well, I guess this was, what, a month ago. The effort is reportedly spearheaded by staffer Rob Flaherty, who will lead four digital staffers in the White House and was named assistant to the president, which has the same rank as communication director and press secretary. Quote, "We actually asked the White House, when are we going to get press briefings?" The 20-year-old TikToker Harry Sisson told the outlet. They were actually very responsive to it. The NYU student has 663,000 followers on TikTok, I'm sure more now, and delivers brief report of the day's biggest news on the platform. But he's a Biden shill. These people can be bought very cheaply and extremely cheaply. Look what Brooklyn Dad Defiant. He was taking, what, $50,000 a year or something like that? And all he did was tweet all day DNC talking points. That's nothing to these people. They have billions in funding. You have this tweet here. Just announced Harry Sisson is a paid DNC manure spreader. It looks like a disbursement here from Midas Touch to Harry Sisson, which is Midas Touch is a left wing. You know, they spend a lot of money promoting left wing ideologies. You look at this kid's TikTok, which is very, very good. And who is this? Greg Price? Oh, hey, Greg, I think I follow you. Oh, I used to follow you. Let me follow you now. Let's take a little bit of this. I'm going to skip.
Okay, everybody. In this video, I'm going to give you a little crash course on journalism. Using a very simple, been 8 years old. Chris Matthews, two guys gained such traction so quickly. I mean, if you look at Harry's Twitter account, it literally says it was made in December 2011 when he would have only been 8 years old.
The only possibility here is somebody else created it and then they bought it, which can happen.
Chris Mowry says he only sent his first political tweet a couple months ago and is not owned by any administration and doesn't work for the DNC. So you see that and you think to yourself, how did these guys blow up so quickly into these liberal TikTok stars? Well, the second part of a story is you look at a common denominator between the two things that don't make sense. And if you look at the bios of those two guys, they have the same exact email address, PalletMGMT. So now, we figure out what exactly that is. And they have a website, Palette Management. It says that they are a talent management company that represents brands and content creators. It says that they provide public relations services and they even have an in-house counsel. So Chris and Harry, whose content is pretty much identical to each other, also have the same talent management company. At which point, you get to step three. Figure out who's funding all of this. And a quick check of FEC records shows that Palette Management is being paid by the Democrat National Committee. They were paid over $200,000 for paid media and online advertising. When a bunch of liberal content creators visited the White House a couple months ago, the trip was organized with the help of the founder of Palette Management. And the DNC even paid them a retainer in order to cover their travel costs and expenses. So there you have it, folks. They claim they're not being paid, but they are in fact being paid. Whenever you see something like this, it never happens naturally. There's always somebody or something behind the scenes controlling everything. And in this case, it's the DNC that's paying these kids a lot of money through a talent management company in order to spread their propaganda online. If I wanted to go even further on this story, I would look up what their parents do for a living. If I had to take a wild guess, I would say that it's probably something corporate, in high finance, something that would get you very well connected politically. And finally, you come up with a juicy headline to put on top of it. Tell me what you think this one should be in the comments.
Well, their parents have donated to Act Blue, according to several other reports, too. You see, Sisson recently signed with Palette Management. Palette received more than $200K from the DNC in the last 2 months. And you can look at, you know, this stuff has to be, has to be public. So you have the money flowing in. So the kids can basically say, well, we've never taken any money from the DNC. That's crazy talk. But they're getting paid from their agency, and they're clearly getting their talking points from them. Because if you watch the Tim Dillon interview, again, they're just kids, but they're being used as political pawns, and it's pretty dang obvious. And a double dip on the Bud Light story today. It seems like a little bit of a slow news cycle this week, but I think it's important to encourage people and to point out successes. People often talk to me, ask me for positive news stories. Well, I think that the average consumer, just a regular old consumer, rising up and putting this level of impact in a company, in particular when it's not a leftist, is practically unheard of. Can you think of another time in the modern era where... And I don't think it's just a conservative thing. I mean, just regular people rising up and saying enough is enough to actually do this level of damage. And we're not done yet. Oh, we're far from it. As new news of concert festivals pulling it and a wide variety of other things, it just keeps getting worse. Bud Light sales drop again, sparking boycotter celebrations. Bud Light sales have dropped for the third week in April following backlash over a partnership between the beer brand and Dylan Mulvaney, according to industry monitors. Figures from the trade newsletter, and I'm just going to do the quick sales overview, and then we're going to look at the other more interesting stuff. Beer Business Daily, cited by Barron, show sales outside of beer outside the hospitality, meaning outside of restaurants, fell 26% in the week ending April 22nd, and I suspect it will be even bigger this week if you all keep spreading the word. And that's the thing. This is exactly what I'm talking about with, I said, wait till we get the grocery store numbers. They kept saying, oh, well, Bud's the same, and our pours are down like 6%. I said, wait until the everyman, the one that actually buys cans or bottles in the grocery store, wait for our numbers to show up. Because sometimes you're at, you know, musical events, or if your stadium's anything like mine, they only have certain beers there. There are fewer options. And, you know, ultimately, this boycott came down to Joe Everyman. This follows reports, obviously, that had seen, you know, the report of 17% decline in the week before. So what's more interesting here is that it's picking up steam. And I talked about in my first video today how there is actually a negative halo effect that's affecting other brands, and other things are being affected. You can see this. Most bars at popular music festival didn't serve Bud Light. This via Outkick. Bud Light reportedly wasn't really flowing during Stagecoach. The popular musical festival from last Friday through last Sunday at the California event was packed with Luke Bryan, Kane Brown, Chris Stapleton, Tyler. I don't know any of these people. I assume they're country music people. However, one thing didn't appear as much as concertgoers might have anticipated was Bud Light. Variety reported that the Bud Light Backyard Stage served the beer, but most other bars were not even offering it whatsoever. One unnamed person told the outlet, I don't really agree with their terms. The recent ad campaign, I didn't like how they appealed to the LGBTQ community. I'm not saying I don't support that community, but just don't force that in my life. Well, I think that that's extremely reasonable. I think that's the position that most of us also have. It's like, look, live and let live, but also don't cram it down my throat, please and thank you. It's just the latest blow for Bud Light after the brand decided to team up, of course, with Dylan. Since then, beer under the Anheuser-Busch umbrella has been getting crushed. You know, and what's going to be interesting is if they actually lose their number one spot. You can see this tweet from yesterday. Bud Light sales continue to get absolutely obliterated and are down 25% from a year ago. This might be the greatest example of go woke, go broke in history. I wish people would just say get woke, go broke. It just sounds better. I know I'm picky about it, but anyway. And this is the thing, like, if you look at the stock for Bud Light, it's not doing well. And its competitors are. And, you know, some people are saying, you don't know what you're talking about with stock, you know, blah, 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 blah. I mean, I can look at a chart and tell you that this doesn't look good over the past 5 days. It's not really headed in any direction. I mean, it's headed in one direction, and that's down. It's down significantly. And I mean, if you look, it's actually owned by InBev. So if you go to InBev stock, you can see it's down 1.5% today, 4.37% over the past 5 days. People are like, man, the whole stock market's down. Okay, well, let's take a look at Bud Light, you know, and Coors maybe. Let's see. Or I'm sorry, not Bud Light. Hello, Miller stock. Let's see what that's doing. It is down a little bit today, but you can see it's already recovering. It's headed back north. If we look at Coors stock, Coors Light, that's up 8%. So no, I don't think that this is a whole, the market thing is down. I think that you've got a whole kind of movement here. And I think Tommy Lahren really put this correctly. And, you know, it's the fact of the matter. It's the acknowledgement. I thought Tommy had a good take on it. Political commentator Tommy Lahren has said conservatives will continue to boycott Bud Light until they acknowledge the mistake they made after their disastrous partnership with Dylan Mulvaney. This is my point. Like, there is no just forgive and forget, put a country music commercial on and pay some country music star a bunch of money to use their song for a commercial. That's not what this is about. This is about Bud Light acknowledging what they did. We already see that they are doing some corrections, some corrective stuff. Let's see.
Bud Light getting called out for turning off YouTube comments for its new commercial featuring friends enjoying beer at a country music, I'll tell you.
Yeah, they also turned off comments in their commercial, which was to be expected. Now, they left them on for all their other videos, so people are just flooding those.
Well, let's talk about the drop, first of all. That tells me that conservative consumers matter. And I think that Bud Light and all other companies out there are starting to realize that the hard way, that for so long, conservatives, we get angry and offended by things, but then we never do anything about it. We don't come together like the left does to send a message or make a statement.
Tommy Lahren's 100% correct about that. The left is exceedingly good at boycotting and organizing, coordinating, getting things trending on Twitter. The right is not. Now, I think that this boycott is bigger than just conservatives, because I think the larger group of people are centrists or apolitical people that are just like, can we get enough? Can we have enough of this?
But now with this Bud Light commercial and this backlash, it shows that conservatives, in fact, do matter. Now, I will say this. I wish conservatives could come together and vote like they came together to boycott Bud Light.
I mean, that's fair enough, too. Speaking of Fox News, a 30-year-old conservatives, consumers matter until they come out and acknowledge. They say, until they come out and actually acknowledge it head on, conservatives are still going to be upset and will not be drinking Bud Light beer. I can promise you that. I completely agree with that. Now, again, this puts Bud in a interesting pickle, because I think what people really want is them to acknowledge, you know, hey, we're sorry we spat in the face of biological women and this, that, and the other thing. I just don't think they could do that. I think that that would absolutely completely destroy their brand. So there's a reason the company hasn't tweeted in 3 weeks. Lahren had been responding to a Bud Light commercial that launched, which was a clear nod to American country music and its fans and designed to appeal to a more traditional market. The company had to resort to disabling comments on the YouTube video after being criticized for it. I mean, that's the thing. I don't think, you know, it could have been anybody. In this case, it was Bud Light. People have finally put their foot down and said enough is enough. It certainly could have been any other company. It could have been You know, we had like mini boycotts with Nike and mini little backlashes with, you know, Maybelline and Ulta. But where it really hit was Bud Light. You know, you can see this again, Bud Light down 26.1%, where Coors Light and Miller Light are up 13.3 and 13.6. I mean, it's literally a mirror image. This is 26.9% increase in sales from its two primary competitors compared to 26.1% drop for Bud Light. I mean, even Donald Trump Jr. is crying about ending the boycott. Maybe it's because his dad's got a bunch of money in the Budweiser stock, or they're a big donator. That's why Trump's kind of not said anything about it. I think Trump could have won some real points if he had jumped in on that. But, you know, that's for a different video, I suppose. I think, you know, Anheuser-Busch went and hired two Republican lobbyists last week to try and figure out how can we, you know, re-engage these people. When any idiot will tell them for free, like me, I'm that idiot, the only option Bud Light has is to come out and apologize, acknowledge what they did, apologize for it, and you know, and issue some sort of mea culpa to their viewers, which or their customers, which I actually don't think they can do. I think they're just totally screwed by this. And the minute Modelo passes them as the number one beer in America is going to be a true moment of humiliation in history. Never in my life have I witnessed a more spectacular backfire than Fox News not only firing Tucker Carlson, which has absolutely cratered the ratings, but their subsequent push, bizarrely, to try and smear him and say that, you know, oh, he's this bad guy. He's going to be exposed. We're going to share these out of context clips of him where we didn't know, or that he didn't know he was being recorded, and it's going to look so bad for him. But the first set of leaks did nothing. They were totally normal. And the leaks they put out today only make Tucker look better. Now, let's start with some of the ratings since the drop. By the way, if you don't have a VPN yet, make sure you pick up private internet access. There's a massive discount, 83% off. It's practically free. So, you know, get access to more programs from the stuff you're already paying for and protect your PC. It says, holy moly, young people have abandoned Fox News in primetime, with Hannity now below 100,000 in the demo and Tucker's old-time slot losing more than 70% of his young audience. Catastrophic. I mean, 100,000 people will likely watch this video, and I'm filming it on a $100 Logitech Brio webcam and an SM7B microphone. Just to put that in perspective, that's how like outdated and toast old media is. And there'll be 20 other people that cover the same story that get as big, if not bigger, viewership. Now, if you look at, you know, cable news ratings, 25 to 54, this is the coveted. This is the buyers, the people that will buy your stuff. I mean, viewers, the five, still very strong. Gutfeld holds strong at 154,000. But I mean, Fox and Friends, 135. But if you look, a lot of these other shows that previous week on Fox have absolutely cratered. Hannity, 93,000. Ingram Angle, 91,000. I mean, these are tiny viewerships. Tiny, tiny viewerships. Tucker's last night in the key demo, by the way, was 270,000. That is more than all of these. Significantly more than all of these. And now, Matthew Gaetz, who works for the bully organization, the garbage heap that is Media Matters, put out this clip in a weird attempt to try and make Tucker Carlson look bad. It's several new clips I'm going to share with you. Some of them have curse words in it. I'll try to cut them out. If I miss one, I do apologize. I try to keep my channel PG rated, even if sometimes the topics are a little spicy. So Fox video, Fox leaks, Tucker Carlson's creepy behind-the-scenes comments. Before we look at them, let's take a little a few of the replies. Christopher F. Rufo writes, "Thank you for confirming Tucker is a normal, down-to-earth, very funny person. Great work, as always, Media Matters, curating excellent conservative content." How about Under CRV Therapist writes, "Undercover Counsel," or whatever it must be, "These statements are normal and something I'm sure happen on almost every news organization, every job, to be honest. Does this propaganda really work on portraying Tucker Carlson poorly? I thought I couldn't like Tucker more. Thanks for proving me wrong." I mean, like, Tucker is base. Love him even more now. "I'm sorry this is happening to you." You see, here's Matthew Gertz sharing, "Prepping for an interview with Piers Morgan, Carlson tells the whole host, 'If we're going to talk about hooking up, I'd love to hit some of the fine points of the technique.' Morgan replies, 'We can certainly talk about your technique, especially after you're tanning your junk last week.' It was just a joke. It was just a joke. Like, what's wrong with this? Like, here, look.
Well, I feel great. You know, I can never assess my appearance. I wait for my postmenopausal fans to weigh in on that. My FB. What? They want to control me from afar? Okay, I'm putting the leash on.
I don't even get it. That's knowing your fan base is calling them postmenopausal supposed to offend them? I don't really understand. Look at these comments. Lamau Tucker is hilarious. I love how Media Matters thinks this has some kind of sick burn here. Always going to hate the thumbnail. You could see Media Matters thinks humor and quick wit is dirt. I didn't realize Tucker was this funny. I always assumed he was socially awkward. Creepy, more like based and normal. Here's Colin Rugg. Lamau, I like Tucker even more now. This just makes him look cooler. He seems funny and relatable. What's creepy about this? I mean, like, everybody is just getting brutally ratioed in this. Thanks for proving that leftists no longer have a sense of humor. Tucker is hilarious. I mean, I don't even... Okay, let's see this. After describing an unnamed woman to someone off camera as yummy, Carlson says, "Just kidding, in case this is being pulled off the bird." Hey, Media Matters for America, go F yourself.
You wouldn't? Okay. I'm not, you know what? I'm not qualified on that score, I will say. I thought his girlfriend was kind of yummy.
So what? Says girlfriend was good looking. I don't really understand. Are we not allowed to say women are attractive?
Just kidding. Just kidding, in case this is being pulled off the bird.
He knows. I don't think he was kidding, but like, he's just keenly aware. And then, like, here, like,
yeah, the bird. Hey, Media Matters for America.
I'm gonna bleep this here, but he puts up both. He does the classic flip off and says, "Go F yourself." I mean, like, I don't even understand how these are supposed to hurt him. It's so weird. What did they think here? Who's funding these people anyway? It was such a spectacular fail. I mean, this guy, he's only going to be far more popular than he ever was on Fox News. Think about that. 270,000 was his peak viewership in that demographic. I believe if he live streamed at night, each episode would probably end, you know, after total views, 3 to 5 million. Maybe 7 million across multiple platforms. And I'm talking consistent for an hour-long show. In terms of target demo online, he will probably double that number because the demographic online, while many right-leaning people, it seems like, are embracing the internet at even older ages. Like, even my mom installed the Rumble app so that she could make sure she sees my videos there. Like, they're embracing it more, but the demographic of the internet is still significantly younger. So all he's going to do is get more popular. And all these little outtakes, they'll just happen live and they'll be hilarious. I mean, like, you know, Carlson wearing the same outfit he wears in the video on April 22. On Morgan's talk show, they discuss Morgan's criticisms of Meghan Markle, Carlson's gut feeling that former President Donald Trump wouldn't seek re-election, and whether Carlson himself would run, and Elon Musk's then pending takeover of Twitter. Carlson's bedroom technique didn't come up in the official interview. Like, so? A video obtained by Media Matters. Well, there is only, here's the thing. There is only one possible source for this video, and that is Fox News. Right? Like, that's where it got filmed. In the second video, on the set of Tucker Carlson Today streaming, you tell someone off camera about the postmenopausal viewers. So what? Apparently responding to something he hears off camera, Carlson laughs and shouts, "F it, we'll do it live." A reference to an infamous behind-the-scenes clip of Bill O'Reilly. Again, so? Media Matters published leaked video yesterday of Carlson privately criticizing Fox streaming service. And again, so? All of these are like hilarious nothing burgers. Is it wild to think that Tucker might be concerned about that? Is it odd that it's like I publish my videos to YouTube, Rumble, BitChute, and Odyssey. If my primary platform is YouTube, which it is currently, hopefully, Rumble becomes a better player, bigger player, and it wasn't working, I would be griping about it. Certainly, I have numerous videos on this channel, probably more than a dozen, complaining about YouTube over the years, maybe two dozen. It's obvious that this is just, I mean, this is the weirdest nothing burger, and it completely backfired on Twitter. Like, people are just saying, oh, sweet, Tucker's more based than we thought before. I can't wait for him to come back. We need him for the you know, the 2024 election cycle. Hopefully he finds a home. Hopefully it's on Rumble or Spotify. Well, not Spotify. I don't want to pay for it. Hopefully it's on Rumble and the left's attempts, or Fox's attempts. It really seems like it's Fox's attempt to try and smear him has failed epically as expected. I hope you enjoyed this video. If you did, make sure you leave a like on it, and we'll talk to you again real soon.